Good morning, everyone. Thanks for being here for this talk. I just want to acknowledge colleagues of mine at the Great Lakes Forestry Center in Sault Ste. Marie, Tom Weldon and Laura Hodden, that were a big part of this work. I'm going to give the context for this work to start off with in terms of the issue of base cation depletion in soils. And this has been demonstrated a lot of watershed studies through input-output balances in the northeastern U.S. and eastern Canada, and also soil resampling studies as well, looking at change in particular in terms of calcium and loss of calcium from soils. Historic, because of acidic deposition in this region has caused this depletion. There's some evidence, a recent paper by Greg Lawrence and others demonstrate some recovery in terms of base cation levels in organic horizons, some changes in bee horizons as well, but that's sort of the underlying context from the soils point of view for this work that I'm going to talk about today. Another piece of work that many of you are probably familiar with related to calcium depletion is also calcium decline in lakes and the impact that this has had on aquatic organisms. In some respects, related back to the lower exchangeable base cation levels within soils, but also somewhat related to lower leaching levels as a result of the drop in deposition, particularly in sulfur that Christy outlined there a bit earlier. I'm going to talk today about an experiment where we've also looked at forest harvesting as a key vector related to calcium decline in soils. And the area of the world where I'm from, in Ontario, Canada, there's now some references to calcium depletion actually in forest policy documents talking about the risk to calcium depletion because of the addition effect of harvesting on top of areas, sites that are sensitive because of previous acidic deposition. And of course that's highlighted even to a greater role with contemplation about increasing biomass utilization for bioenergy to get us off fossil fuels. So the overall objective for the presentation today is I'm going to look at using repeated soil sampling, actually over a 35-year time period, to determine the effect of acidic deposition and intensive forest harvesting on mineral soil chemical properties. I'm going to look at base cations, aluminum, and pH. So where this work was done was at the Turkey Lake watershed, and I'll show you a map in a minute to remind you where it is if you don't know. This is a protected watershed, 10.5 square kilometer watershed. Important, the fact that it's protected because related to the work that I'm going to talk about is going back and doing soil resampling. So we needed sites that weren't impacted by any kind of outside forces other than the experimental treatments that we have. And also to go back and actually relocate exactly where we had sampled soils previously, which we've been able to do through monumenting of sites and so on. It's an old growth maple birch forest, matured, over mature. Glacial till and podzolic spodosol soils in lots of places, shallow soils over bedrock. So in some places only down to 50 centimeters before you hit bedrock. Deposition history, much like other sites within eastern North America, we've dropped considerably from the early 1980s from those rates you see, 30 and 25 kilograms per hectare, now down to about a third of that for sulfate and nitrate. The Turkey Lake site and a lot of inter-site comparisons has been highlighted just because of the high base cation export that exists on the site naturally. Deposition of calcium and magnesium, 3 and less than 1 kilogram per hectare, but export in the streams up to 25 and 3 kilograms per hectare. And this has been linked back to a couple things, in particular high soil nitrification at the site, a lot more than other watersheds in the region, that's led to this high base cation leaching. We've done some soil resampling work at Turkey Lake already, and a paper I put together with colleagues a few years back that looked at soil change in two undisturbed sites within the watershed itself. And from sampling dates about 19 years apart, 1986 to 2005, we didn't actually find any change in soil pH or base cation concentrations. So no acidification that had been showed for similar time periods at other sites, but no recovery at all as well. And in some respects, one of the thoughts that I've had since we did that work was the fact that sampling in 1986, we may have already missed the large degree of acidification that really occurred with the deposition rates high in the late 70s, early 80s. And so that's a possibility that we hope to show you with this presentation as well. So within the watershed itself, in 1997, we put together a harvest impact experiment. So looking at several long-term watersheds that we had within the overall catchment, several first-order watersheds within the overall catchment, we imposed some harvest impact treatments. They involved partial harvesting treatments, shelterwood, and selection harvests that are part of regular forest management within that area. But we also asked the forestry company to also do an experimental diameter limit clear cut treatment as well in the basin, and that's down at basin 31 there on the far left side. The watershed, just to again give you an idea of the location, we're located here on the leeward side of Lake Superior, just about 15 kilometers from the east side of the lake. We've got about 1,200 millimeters of precipitation there, so fairly wet for that region because of Superior. About a third of that is snow, which is on the ground any time from right now to late March for sure. So what this for the talk, I'm going to focus on this clear-cut watershed. And it was harvested, as I said, in 1997 as a 4.6 hectare watershed. All stems greater than 20 centimeters were felled and delimbed and removed from the site. Anything between 10 and 20 centimeter DBH we actually felled and left on site. The cut was done in the summer, so again, this resulted in branches and leaves being left on site after the harvest. So it's not a complete biomass removal, but it's an intensive removal, as I said, experimental, beyond what would be done there normally as part of regular forest harvesting operations. The partial cuts removed probably about 30% of the volume from the site, so this clear cut enhanced that to the point where we're removing about 80% of the standing volume. So again, the pre-harvest stand here, matured over mature sugar maple dominated stand, to the clear cut one growing season after, to the site 15 years after. So rapid revegetation of the site, predominantly cherry, birch, and maple coming up on the site after. So to give a little picture of the actual removals in terms of calcium, the stand itself, a reference stand that was also part of the trial, had about 984 kilograms per hectare of calcium in the overstory. You can see with the two partial cuts, we removed about 150 to 170 kilograms per hectare of calcium. And then in this clear cut scenario, we removed about 2.5 times that amount in the with the harvest, taking it off site. But the other thing to notice in this is the amount of calcium that was left on site in terms of slash. So these are the numbers here. So you can see again, calcium being quite concentrated in the branch material in particular, even more so than the foliage. You leave a large amount of calcium on the forest floor itself with the treatment that we executed. And that you'll see a bit later when I get to the results how that might have come into play. But it really shows in this clear cut where you're leaving, twice as much calcium on site as you are in either of those partial harvests. In terms of, there's the calcium that we're removing within the harvest. There's also the calcium that's lost through leaching through that clear cut afterwards. And just showing here calcium and nitrate concentration in soil percolate sampled by lysimeter between the uncut unharvested reference and the clear cut. And you can see that calcium leaching was enhanced for about 3 years after the harvest in relation to a nitrate pulse that came through, quite similar to some of the results that Lizzie was showing there for the ice storm that really happened, not the experimental one. And this is mainly, this calcium mobilization is mainly due, again, to increased mineralization and decreased uptake within that clear cut. Not going to talk about it too much today, but interesting, in both cases, those lines came down below the reference, and for the last several years have been running below the reference in terms of leaching. So our field sampling, we actually sampled soils in 1980, 99, 2001, 2015 by Index Horizon. So this gives us data for 17 years pre the treatment, the harvest, 2 years, 5 years, and 18 years post-harvest. Very meticulous in terms of the lab analysis, trying to repeat the same analysis that we did 35 years earlier in 2015 as compared to 1980. Another important part of the work is archived soil samples, which we use to confirm the methods or the results that we're getting with the same methods 35 years later. So let's look at some of the results, and I've just got a few slides that are showing base cation and aluminum concentrations, all of them the same. We are looking at the 1980 sampling, 17 years pre-harvest, 2 years post, 5 years post, 18 years post, and looking at these three index horizons, which is sampling sort of the top 20 centimeters. We did sample deeper, but I'm just showing the top 20 centimeters here. So we've got an AE/E, BHS, and BHF, the Canadian and American systems, although together challenging, eh? And the BF and the BS here, right? And the overall message is here, there's not a lot of noise. There's a few cases where we've got some lower values, but generally there's not there are no significant differences, but there isn't a lot of noise in the data in both calcium and aluminum concentration over that 35-year period. Magnesium and potassium, much the same. Maybe a little bit more noise, but again, no significant differences over this 35-year period. So even with that cumulative effect of the harvesting on top of the acidic deposition, we don't see any changes. The only thing that we did see any differences was pH, and for some reason, and I don't know the answer to that right now, we've got a significant increase in pH for all the horizons in our 2015 sampling. And interestingly enough, what we found with our archiving of samples is we don't find any differences where, if we're meticulous in repeating the method, we don't find any differences in the archived samples for base cation extraction. But pH is one of the things that changes the most. This particular experiment, we did all the pHs on field fresh samples, so they're not on the archive samples. But in spite of that, we're seeing this increase in pH. I can't explain it at this point. So in conclusion, even with the strong manipulative treatment, we still had no decrease in base cations at the site. In terms of a message to our forest managers, the partial harvesting that we're doing on sites like this, it's not a threat to soil-based cation levels. And essentially, the base cation availability, the replenishment in the soil at this site is sufficient to compensate for the loss that results from the clear-cut harvesting. I'm not promoting clear-cut harvesting. That's a different question. But the extent that we removed did not have the impact here. And again, it brings me back to the conclusion I had for the other work that we did at Turkey Lake. This is really quite a base-rich site. Even though it's on the Precambrian shield, the tills have got enough weathering, enough reserve for weathering, that it doesn't seem, with this cumulative effect of the removals on top of any acidification effect, that we're not able to demonstrate any impact. But again, the caveat is there's other sites that have lower reserves that have showed some of these impacts. A couple of acknowledgments here, and I'm happy to take any questions if I got time.